Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our scripture tonight comes from Psalms 127, verses 3 to 5. And it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is a man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate."
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, God, as we hear from you, Lord God, that you would open our hearts, Lord, that your word would fall on good soil tonight. We prepare our hearts, we prepare our lives for what you desire to speak to us today, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Well, today we've got a special speaker. He's one of us. And he's actually our campus minister, and he also oversees our youth ministry in our central location as well. Him and his awesome wife, Adele, have been, you know, just leading the charge with regards to our ministry on the universities. And so I'm really excited for him to come and speak to our spiritual family out here in Logan and just address this awesome topic of the next generation. So why don't you give it up for Mark Dellett as he comes to bring the word tonight.
Thanks, Pastor Nelly. Hey, y'all. How you doing? Excellent. Me too. I'm really blessed to be out here tonight to really share my heart. Those of you who know me, I'm really passionate about two things, really. First one's Jesus. The second one's sound. I often get the two mixed up, but bless it, I won't get it mixed up tonight. And I get to finish off the This Is Us series. So why don't we just dig right in? My message is called this evening, Arrows and Warriors, the Next Generation. Young people, as we saw in our scripture, they're blessings from the Lord. They're arrows in the hands of warriors. Amazing. So young people here, you are arrows. The rest of us, I'm not going to say older people, but the rest of us, warriors. So turn to the person to your side. If you're a warrior, tell them, "I am a warrior," and show them your war face. If you're an arrow, if you're a young person, turn to them and say, "I am an arrow," and also show your war face. Come on, I've played Pukana before. I know you guys have war faces. Okay, arrows and warriors, awesome. I just want to address this. I'm talking about the next generation today, and that's a family ministry. And I want to highlight that not everyone's experience with family is a positive one. So I just want to take time before we dig in. Can we pray as a church? Can we pray as a church for our families? Lord, thank you so much for our families. Thank you for the design of our families. Thank you that you are a heavenly Father. And though parental figures here in our experience on earth can let us down, you never let us down. You always embrace us exactly how you know we need to be embraced. You are for us. You are never against us. You have an unending love for your children, for we all have the right to be children of God. We all have the right to be your children. In Jesus' name, I pray for restoration in our families across this city, from north to south to east to west, right across this great state of Queensland, right across this country and the world, Lord. Peace in our families. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. To our young people, your arrows. Does your life reflect that you're a weapon for Christ? Are you sharpening yourself? What does an arrow do? An arrow, it flies. Are you fit for flight, young people? Are you fit for flight? Are you a war-ready arrow? And for our others, our warriors, not old people, just warriors, right? Warriors is much better. Does your life reflect that you're a warrior for Christ? I just want to highlight as well, this is not just a message for parents. We all have young people in our lives. At work, we're sisters, brothers, cousins, third cousins, fifth cousins, seventh cousins, 10th cousins. That was my attempt at humor. Sorry, guys. But we all have young people in our lives. So this is a message for everyone. Young people matter to all of us. But right now, guys, there's a war on. Did you know there's a war on? There's a war on for our young people. And the war is for their hearts. The war is for their minds. And the war is for their spirits, for their souls. There's a war on for our young people. You might not realize that this is actively being played out, but let me assure you, there is a war on for our young people. And we can step back and we can go, well, nothing to do with me, all good. Or we can come to the front and go, you know what? I'm going to take a stand for our young people. And as the body of Christ, we are called to defend our young people. We are called to be part of this battle. Each and every one of us is called to be in this battle for our young people. Our young people are a heritage from the Lord, a blessing. We, as God's body, we know and understand what that means. So we, understanding the value, it's up to us to fight for it. So it involves all of us. And our battle plan, it starts at home. And it moves from our home into our schools, into the employment places of our young people, and here at church too. And that happens predominantly in the youth ministry. I've been really blessed to, I've been working with the youth here at Every Nation Brisbane for the last 3 years. It's been such a wonderful blessing. And you guys have a wonderful youth team out here at Logan as well. So awesome. I love coming out here and meeting with our young people every week. It's so good. You guys have a great team out here. And youth ministry, first and foremost, it's a family ministry, isn't it? Youth ministry is a family ministry. We work together, right? We work together. And I think Proverbs 22 here really speaks to this, what we're doing. This is our shared goal, right? This is our shared goal as a youth ministry, as a whole church, and with families. Direct your children on the right path. And when they are older, they won't leave it. Leave what? What is it to leave it? What are we leaving? Leaving our inheritance. We're leaving the path. It's sin, isn't it? You know, the Greek word hamartia for sin actually literally means missing the mark. So if you're an arrow and you've fallen off the path, you're missing the mark. So it's our goal, it's our shared responsibility for all of us. It's our collective role to point our young people to God. And God refines us. Right? Can anyone testify to that? Has God refined you in your life? It's not me. It's not what I can do. It's not what words that I can say or what anyone else can say. It's God that does the refining. The Holy Spirit brings us to the conviction of our sin, right? It's God. God does the refining. So we need to point our young people. We can point them in the direction to God who does the refining. We need to make sure that our arrows are hitting the mark. We need to make sure that we set our young people up, that they're not missing the mark, right? You feel me? In youth ministry as well, I got to tell you this. You know when the youth ministry meets on a Friday out here at Logan, you guys meet every Friday night, right? You guys hang out on Sunday. Y'all ain't just hanging out and playing soccer and playing games and having fun and watching movies, right? You're not playing church. This is for real, man. There's a higher purpose to what you're doing. You're building relationally. You're equipping your next generation. You guys are learning about your faith. It's not a game. They're not just playing games. And they're empowering them. And you know what else they're doing? The youth ministry is releasing our young people. Because there's no point empowering them to just let them sit back. Young people, I want you to hear this, right? This is for our youth. You are not bystanders in the kingdom of God. You are not a bystander. Your inheritance is not for tomorrow. God wants you to step into it today, right? And as a body of Christ, we're here to empower our young people. This is what's happening in your youth ministry. And I just wanted to also highlight parents. You are a wonderful part, an integral part of the youth ministry. This is a family ministry, right? I can speak for myself with the families that I have the pleasure to work with in Central, and I can speak for your volunteers out here who work with your young people. They don't see it as a right. It's not a right that we get to work with your young people. It's a privilege, and we serve it as so. We see it as a privilege that we get to see you and speak into your lives. And your parents go to so much effort. You know, we have parents in the Central Church that drive all the way from Northside all the way over to the West. It takes them an hour to get there. I'm sure you have the same thing here in Logan, right? Parents, you're picking up the toll of having to bring your kids to something, and I get it. It's hard because you just get to Friday, you've done your 40, you just want to sit and watch the Broncos lose on the TV. That hurts me to say that. I love my Broncos, but I'm also a realist, right? Okay, so I'm getting it after 40 hours, man, on a Friday night. You don't want to get in your car again and then go and sit and drive through traffic and get your kid all the way over there. But I tell you, it's a wonderful blessing, and God is pouring out life-giving water over what's happening there. Your youth ministry is not just playing games. It's worth it. And let me tell you something, right? It's really easy for us to wake up on a Saturday and drive our kids all the way over the other side for footy, right? Did I hit a hard one there? Right? We need to have the same enthusiasm for our kids' faith. For them growing in their faith, we need to be able to step up to the plate, man. Because if it's not us stepping up to the plate, then who? They are blessings from the Lord, and we need to treat them as such. So bless you guys. Your parents are amazing. You turn up with food that I love, and it makes me fat. I love it. It's so good. You guys are really investing in your children, and it's worth it. It's a worthy investment. It's the best investment that you can make in your children to get them around other believers, to edify them in their faith. And I'm so grateful for you, parents. Can we just give a hand for our parents? Wonderful. Just wonderful. So youth ministry, it's not just a Sunday thing, right? We're not just going to go home from here and go, well, that's cool. Mark talked about youth ministry. We'll get to that next Sunday. It's not that, okay? It's a Sunday to Sunday ministry. So that means it happens at home, right? It's a family ministry. It's happening at home as well as here. So it's going to take some work. We have to ask ourselves, warriors, we have to ask ourselves this question. How does my own faith life look? Okay, I'll level with you, right? I'm not a parent, but I'm going to be a parent. Okay? My wife is 3.5 months pregnant. So I'm going to get to understand this. And bless it, I know someday my little kid's going to come to church and say something really embarrassing about me, right? Because children, your parents will know this, right? Your children are really good imitators. They imitate what's going on at home, right? They imitate it. I see it from my nieces and nephews. They surely imitate me. Yes. So our children imitate us, and they imitate us for better or worse. We need to be aware of that. I want to share a story with you. I've recently started going to high schools, in particular one over here on the, just over on the north side. And man, it broke my heart. There's a lot of goodness there, but there's a lot of times my heart is getting broken. You guys will know who I'm talking about here in regards to, you've got the picture in your head. You know, the young teenage boy, big trouble, got the BMX with the stunt pegs on the back, doesn't wear the helmet, even though the cop wants him to wear the helmet. He's all bad. He's attitude. You guys know who I'm, you got a picture of this kid in my head, right? In your head? You feel me? You know what I'm putting down? No, you guys didn't have kids like this at school. These guys over here are having a giggle. They know what I'm talking about, right? I had a chat with him. I had a chat with these kids. 14-year-old boy said, I'm really scared that this week my mum's boyfriend's going to kick me out of home. Yeah. And that's a lot of weight for a young man. A boy, really. So when he comes to school and he's drinking and smoking and talking to women bad, little girls as well, you know, gets violent, what's he doing? Is he a bad young man, or is he just imitating what he sees at home? I'll let you figure that one out, but they're really good imitators. You see, in the absence of a parental figure, child's going to look to whoever's closest to imitate. And all of a sudden you have boys imitating boys, thinking that this is how we be men. And they think that to be a man, you got to swear, you got to smoke, you got to drink, you got to beat on your missus. It's hard, eh? They imitate. Children imitate. But let me tell you something. It's not too late to turn this around. God has positioned lights in our schools. There are lights of good news, of the gospel in our schools. And let me tell you something. As the body of Christ, we need to step forward and engage in battle and say, we're not going to give up on them either. We're not going to give up on these world shakers, these world changers. We are not going to give up on them. Because why? Because we understand their value. We understand that our young people are an inheritance from the Lord, a blessing. We understand the value. We are not, the body of Christ is not giving up on our young people. Everyone say, not on my watch. Yeah, not on your watch. We're not giving up on these people. Now, Arrows, I want to speak to you, our young people. This is a truth for you too. You might be the only Bible that your friends ever get to read. Let's look at this fatherly advice. This was Paul speaking to Timothy. Paul loved Timothy. He said, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. This is for our Arrows and our Warriors. How is your character and your faith life? How is your speech? How is your conduct? How is your love? How's your faith life? How's your purity? You might not be aware of it, but our young people are looking to you and they're ready to imitate someone. How is it? It's a battle on. Are you battle ready? Are you ready for battle? There's a battle happening. My friend Steve, he's in the army. Absolute legend of a guy. Gave me this hat. This is good if your battle is in the flesh, but our battle is not in the flesh. So if you're suiting yourself like this, not going to work. Battle's in the spirit. So how do we get dressed for battle, my friends? I'm glad you asked. We're going to take this off. Don't need that guy anymore. Let's look how we battle in the spirit. How do we dress ourselves for battle, church? Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Say, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having to put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. You see, there's arrows in this war, right? But the devil is also firing fiery darts our way, right? How do you, are you going to try and dance around them? That took it out of me. But that's not going, because that's not going to work, right? How do you defend yourself in the spirit from the inbound darts from the enemy? Shield of faith. Thum, 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 thum. No problem. Don't have to do a silly dance. You don't want to look silly, right? Do you want to look silly? It's not going to work. You're going to die from the inbound arrows. Get your shield of faith. Thum, thum. You don't have to move around. You're all good. You're standing firm. So good, right? Okay. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. All circumstances, church. Which You can extinguish all the flaming darts. Oh my goodness, so good. Let's keep going and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let me tell you something. If you're not picking up your Bible and getting into God's Word, when you reach for your holster where your sword is, you're going to pick out, you're going to get a toothpick. You're going to pick a toothpick out of there, man, and you're going to try and fight a battle with a toothpick. Are you crazy, man? A toothpick. Other guy's got a sword. He's got fiery darts, and you got a toothpick. Man, it's not going to work. You need to get in God's Word, right? It's all here. You see, it's all here in God's Word. Don't take my word for it. Get into your Word. Look, it's right up here. Praying at all times in the Spirit. I love this next part. With all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. Whew. Man, I need a drink of water after that. Okay, let's break that down, shall we? Because that was a lot. But we're going to break it down, right? Okay, belt of truth. What's the belt of truth? Okay, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. On the belt of truth is Jesus. Jesus, your belt of truth. Have you got it on, right? Okay, the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? Okay, a breastplate. It is the righteousness purchased by Jesus at the cross. You see, a breastplate, what does it do? It protects your vital organs, right? And interesting, in my research, I found that, you know, Roman soldiers, when they get their kit on, because Paul's using the imagery of a Roman soldier here, right? You take the belt off, the breastplate comes off. Whole thing just comes off. You take Jesus out of this, man, you got nothing. Jesus is the most important part of this suit. Okay, let's move on. Shoes. This is the gospel. Do you know the gospel? Do you know the gospel? Can you communicate the gospel in and out of season? Right? Are you ready to share what the gospel is? Shoes for your feet. Shield of faith. We talked about that. We're not dancing like idiots. We've got our shield. Right? Real shield of faith. Hebrews 11 says that faith is the hope in things unseen. Now, let me ask you this. When things are going really bad, when you have a plan in your life or something you're praying for and it looks impossible, that's miracle season. That's the condition for miracles. Is your faith there at that time? Do you have faith and go, hey, God has got me in this. It's okay, God, you have me in this. It's faith. It's faith and it's a shield. It's a shield when the enemy starts firing those darts. Thump, thump. No, you're not good enough. Thump. No, you cannot possibly do that. Thump. Your circumstances are not good enough. Thump. It's awesome. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. It's the assurance in your mind that what Jesus did for you on the cross, the price that he paid, it was enough. The helmet of salvation is for when the enemy says that, nah. But did God really? You know, the enemy hasn't really changed much since Genesis, eh? Right? Did he really? Well, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Jesus did. Jesus did pay the price for me on the cross. Jesus did. And it is enough. Amen? It's enough. You need the helmet of salvation, the sword in the Spirit. Hey, put your toothpick away, man. Pick up your Bible. It's the real sword. And prayer. Prayer in all things. All requests. Everything. Prayer is not just for when we eat. Prayer is for when we wake up. Prayer is for when we're getting ready. Prayer is for when we're on the way to work. Prayer is for when we're at work. Prayer is for when we're at school. Prayer is for all times, all things. Praying the whole time. See, the battle, don't get confused, my friends. This is not the battle. Our battle is not in the flesh. Battle is in the Spirit. Fight in the Spirit. Fight in the Spirit. Right. And here's the cool thing. Once you're dressed, what can you do? Just like a plane. Put your life jacket on. You can help the one beside you. Okay. When you're dressed, you can help others get dressed for battle. Right? Anyone a military geek here? I love military history myself. Yep, I'm that kind of guy who goes to Europe for 2 years and travels war sites. Yep. And that's how I knew that my wife was my wife at that point, because she came with me. You know, yeah, let's go have dinner at Eiffel Tower. I don't think so. We're going to Normandy to the D-Day beaches. Did anyone say German pillbox? Yes, they did. That was me. Okay. Now, this is a really interesting battle. This happened about 500 years before Jesus. This is the Battle of Marathon. And it's a really famous battle between the Greeks and the Persians. The Persians are the guys in red there. They have an overwhelming force, right? Absolutely overwhelming. The Greeks, the Athenians, known for being fierce warriors. Amazing warriors. Look how outnumbered they are. But they won. What happened? The Persians, too busy with what's happening out in the front to pay attention to the flanks. And if we spend all our time with me, my own, my stuff, and we don't put in for other families, we might be winning the battle out front here, but what about our flanks? Last time I checked, we live in a community, right? Yeah. When I pick up my Bible and I read Mark 12, 30 and 31, Jesus' response to the Pharisees when asked what are the most important commandments, he said, first off, love God. Second off, love your neighbor as yourself. So we need to pay attention to our flanks. All right. Y'all still with me? So we're blessed to be a blessing. How can we reach families beyond our own? It's our schools. At schools, we can reach families beyond our own. Now, vocationally, we have people that work with youth here in Logan. Levy, represent Mabel Park, mate. Yep. Copper, you work with youth, mate. Sam, got you. Youth Justice, eh? Helen, youth, loved us. Look at all these lights that we have here. Hey, we got so many lights. You see, we have people that can work vocationally. We can reach people vocationally. That's cool. It's awesome. It's awesome. I'm so grateful for you guys. I'm grateful that God has you in these fields to sow into our young people, to look after our young people, to be there in the battle for our young people. But this also speaks vocationally for all of us. Y'all have jobs, right? Y'all have jobs. What about the young people at your work? Yeah, young people at your work. You see, you can reach beyond your own. Young people at your work. How about volunteering? Man, you might be the only stable adult that our young people, when you're volunteering at a school, you might think you're just buttering the bread for the breakfast club, you know? Get that Vegemite on the toast. You might think you're just doing that. You might be thinking you're just a teacher's aide. Might just be helping out with some admin stuff. You might just be thinking, I just like traffic and big lollipops. You know, just doing lollipop action. Nah. You might be the only stable adult that our young people there at that school might ever see. Amazing opportunity. You know, it doesn't take much. Over at one of my Northside visits, I came across I was sharing a photo of working with some young people, with a young lady there. She's 15. And 2 weeks later, she came to me and said, I'm really glad you showed me that picture because I'm really inspired to work with young people now. And it speaks to two things, doesn't it? One, it doesn't take much, right? It doesn't take much. I've invested a few hours into that relationship. It doesn't take much. But it also speaks to the dryness, doesn't it? It speaks to the dryness of some of our young people where it just takes a few words of life for God to bring growth to it, right? So we need to be turning up. Volunteering is a way to do it. You know, our schools, they're so thirsty for volunteers, right, Levy? Our schools are so thirsty for volunteers. How about the PNC committees? It's not just a sleep committee. I don't know if y'all know this, but PNC committees wield a tremendous amount of power at our schools, huh? Programs that come through our schools often come through the PNC committee. They come through the PNC committee, right? And parents can say, yeah, this is a good thing for our children. What about if we had strong Christian voices in our PNC committee, blessing schools of hundreds, schools of thousands? God has given us all a voice. God has made us all a light. Are we willing as a church to take the time to go and step out in something like our PNC committees and bring blessing to hundreds of children? Hundreds! Because there's a battle on. And don't be confused. This is not a battle where it's all going one way. Thump, thump. Just like we read before, there's darts coming back the other way. Thump, thump. So if we are there in our schools trying to be lights, you can be rest assured there's something there trying to put the lights out. But how many of you know that the darkness won't win? It's never won, right? Amazing. Will you be that light? How about this for an idea? Carpools. You might see children going to school. You might have a few families in your street at the same school. What about if you just decided, well, for 5 days a week, I can speak into this family by taking their kid to school. I can connect with the parents by dropping the kid off. What about after school care? We have kids where, you know, hey, it's real, man. The struggle's real. Some parents have to work. And there's nothing wrong with that. We have kids, some kids at home that with their parents might be at work, but we have some kids at home where their parents, they're not aware that of how much of a blessing they are. It's an inconvenience when they get home from school. What about you just say, hey, you know, instead of Johnny being at home by himself on afternoons, why don't you come around to my house? Now you have hours every day, 5 days a week, to speak into this child's life, to speak hope, to be that example, to introduce them to the gospel. It might be the only, you might be the only Bible they ever read. This is an opportunity, 5 days a week. Man, y'all all meet for life groups once a week. Imagine the growth that happens when you meet 5 days a week over the space of a year. This is big growth we're talking about here. Big. We're talking revival in our communities here. Revival. 5 days a week, and all you had to do was just say, hey, come over to my house, man. Come and hang out with my kids. Come and see what a family is, right? Are we going to step back or are we going to step forward, right? God has blessed us to step forward to our arrows here. I need you to hear me. This is very important. Charles Spurgeon, he wrote this about this very verse about Psalms 127. A man of war is glad of weapons which may fly where he cannot. Arrows, our young people, you can do things in schools that we cannot, that your teachers cannot, that your chaplains at your schools, you're blessed to have chaplains in about 60% of high schools across Queensland. That means we have 40% that don't have chaplains. Man, if your school doesn't have a chaplain, you can go to your principal and say, hey, I don't think my child's spiritual needs are being met here. Can we get a chaplain? And you're going to bless the whole school by them bringing a chaplain in. You can literally bless hundreds of families just by asking. It's amazing. And our young people, guys, did you know your chaplain just can't walk in and pray for people? You have to ask for prayer. You are the keys. You have to ask for prayer. Did you know your chaplain just can't go, hey, we're just going to have a life group now. We're going to have a Bible study. Students have to ask their chaplain for that. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't. If they don't ask, it doesn't happen. That's just how the system is set up. So you are our arrows. You are sharp. You are piercing. You can fly places that we cannot. Literally, you are the keys. You are the arrows. Oh my goodness. You must know that you can do things that we can't. You are not bystanders in the kingdom of God, my friends. You are not bystanders. You are arrows. You are weapons of war, firing back at the enemy. Thum, thum, thum. Changing lives. Bringing blessings to hundreds of families across our community. Like we could never imagine from our position here. But you can. You can. We all have a role. If you're a warrior, you have a role. If you're an arrow, you have a role. We all have a role in the battle for the next generation. It's personal to all of us. It's why we're here at Every Nation. See, our young people, you must know your inheritance. You must know that you are sons and daughters of God. Look at this scripture. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Thanks, Pastor Nilly.
Yeah, go ahead and can we give it up one more time for Mark as he, for that awesome word. How many of you were challenged by that? Wow. Our response to that is obviously to pray. But before we do, I just wanted to remind all of us that the challenge that was issued from Ephesians chapter 6, right? It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. How many of you know, even in Greco-Roman times, there was no such thing as tag teams. It was always one-on-one. It was always with no little clothing on. And they would wrestle that way. Because often at times, you'd find that people would be isolated in their fight. But I hope you caught what the Holy Spirit was saying, because armor is meant for armies. Let me say that one more time. You put on armor if you're a part of an army. If you put on armor and you're by yourself, there's doctors you can see for that sort of stuff, right? Because that's not normal to wear an armor unless you go into some form of party, like a costume party. Like, you put on armor and you'll notice all the armor is for the front. The breastplate, the shoes are intended to move forward. The belt, the helmet, it's all forward facing. And because we're called to be an army together. So I want you to catch that in the spirit, everybody, that God is desiring, no matter where you're at in your life stage, whether you're a young person here in high school or at university, or maybe you're a young couple or a young professional, and you're like, well, Pastor Nelly, that doesn't really apply to me because I'm not a parent. Well, yes, you are a parent in the spirit, because God is even calling you to be an example. How many of you know, like, I'm really blessed, right? I have great friendships. I have great models. Some of them are people in this room for my children when they observe, you know, like, because sometimes daddy's not cool. I don't know about you, but like, you're probably like, oh, really? I thought you were cool all the time, Pastor Nelly. And I'm like, stop it. But like... But like, I love that there are other examples of uncles and aunties that are around my kids that they can also look to and hopefully learn to trust as well. Because we do life together. Because we're an army together. Because we fight this fight that's already been won by Christ together. And then, of course, the parents in this room. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to pray. I'm just going to get Mike to throw up the next slide for us. I want us to pray. Pray for the generations that are around us. If we can do this, all right, right where you are, if you're seated next to your spouse, that's awesome. Pray together as to how God might utilize you to be a vessel that God might use for the next generation. If you're, however you're led, if you want to get, like, I know we've got parents in here and you're near your kids, pray for your children. Pray as a family together as to how God might utilize your family to be a vessel that will also help the flanks, help those who are on the periphery as well. But what I want you to do is just pray. Pray for the youth. Pray for the young people. Pray also for the teachers that are in this room. We want to also especially lift up all of those people that have been named, whether, you know, that are holding positions of influence in the schools and amongst young people. You know, we heard Sam and Levi and Helen and Kopa. I know there may be others in this room as well. Even our youth. Our youth volunteers, our youth leaders, like Joe and the crew. So let's get around these people and pray for them as a spiritual family. And I want to even do this. You know, for you young people, you got to pray for us as parents, because we don't get it right all the time. We don't get it right all the time. Pray that we will parent the way that God is a heavenly father to us. Pray that we will parent well. So on behalf of parents, we ask for your prayers for us. Is that all right?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.